Tigers are going to win the Premiership in 2017. The Tigers have got home for the first time in 37 years.
Champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is! Rhys Carey rigs up her 200 in style.
Full Sam Kerr.
One of the great playoff runs of all time is complete. The Warriors are NBA champions again.
For all your sports news, reviews, and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin.
Good morning. This is the Sports Desk with Liam and Ben, and 13 with Fitzroy, 4 with Brisbane, and now 2 with the Brisbane W. The Lions are into the grand final. Can you believe it, Ben?
I cannot believe it. Absolutely outstanding stuff from the Brisbane Lions women to get themselves into the grand final, and that's what we'll kick off this week's show. This week got a massive show coming up for you this Monday,
and we have a call apparently.
We'll leave that
for
the moment. Anyway.
That's odd.
Yep. All right. So, starting off with AFLW, going into the round, Brisbane were in fifth position, and they needed three things to go their way if they were in order to make the grand final. One, they needed to beat GWS West by a big enough margin.
Which they did by 40 points.
Yep, so they could leapfrog Melbourne on percentage. Two, they needed Melbourne to lose.
With Brooke Lachlan kicking the winner.
Yep.
In the dying minutes.
Melbourne losing to the Western Bulldogs. And they needed the team that beat them last week, Collingwood, to do a number and defeat Adelaide, which also happened.
Yes, Collingwood getting over 53 with 232. So what a game. You are playing the Doggies at Icon Park. So it's not even technically not really Doggies' home game. I don't think Doggies have played that all year. I think you have. So you have the grand advantage heading into this grand final.
Yes, we've got the home advantage anyway. So we'll have a look at the week's play. So on Friday night, it was Brisbane who defeated the Greater Western Sydney 64-24. It's a blistering first quarter where we kicked 6-2 to the Giants, 1-1, and that pretty much sealed the win for us. Best players for us there were Frederick Trabb, who kicked 4 goals, mind you.
Is it Trabb or Trelob?
Trelob, maybe.
I think Trelob. We're kicking 3 goals. Absolutely. She set the pace. Woodchester with 3-2. She, if those 2 points turned into goals, she would have won the goal kicking. She was
yeah,
a goal
behind
Brooke Lachlan.
Yeah.
But yeah, Trelob, 18 touches, 4 goals. And no one from the Giants, even like Courtney Gum, had 5 touches. She struggled in a big game. Alicia Eva was good having the 18 touches, but what a win by the Lions. Like I said, the Giants, I actually just got off the plane. I think at quarter time, I got off the plane. And I thought, oh, the Lions are smashing them. And you got on to it. Into the grand, well, you before you knew that you went into the grand final. But good way to start with a win. And you had to wait. You had to wait a long, probably the longest weekend in some of these girls' lives, really.
Yeah, for sure. And if not many of you were able to catch it, the reaction of the girls when they were watching
it was good to watch. It was good to watch.
Yeah, it's on social media if you wanted to have a little search for it. But yeah, they were ecstatic, to say the least, when Collingwood defeated Adelaide
yesterday. For a few people that don't like AFLW, to these women, it is 100%. It is legit. It's real to them.
Yeah.
And we'll go to the Battle of the Wooden Spoon.
Yeah, your
and
girls.
It was a close game for most of it, but led by Dana Hooker, who I think is an absolute superstar of the competition now, kicking a goal, 25 touches, got Freo over the line, and I think the best for Carlton was definitely probably Taylor Harris with her 2 goals. But Freo plays like Lisa Webb, Ebony Antonio, who's probably the best swing woman in the game, plays back, then goes forward, can kick a goal, can run into the midfield. And her partner, actually, Carl Dolan, as well, played good with the 15 touches, the Freo skipper. But the image of the game was... So they kicked the ball into the Carlton's 450. Taylor Harris goes to the mark. Hayley Miller, all the courage in the world, absolutely probably broke all of her ribs.
Mm.
And that was sickening to watch. I was like, ooh, that did not look pretty at all. And it's also good to see Frio's star recruit, Kelly Gibson, play her first game, kicking a goal on debut. So good, hopefully see a lot from her next year.
Yeah, so a good finish for your Docker girls there.
Yes.
Moving on now to Saturday night, and this is what I tipped to be the grand final matchup, but it wasn't to be. So the Bulldogs were able to get over the line against Melbourne, defeating them in a very, very tight match by two points.
In the last minute.
Yes, in the last minute. They came from 5 points down in the third quarter, did the Dogs, and they defeated them. Yeah, 5-3, 33-4, 7-31.
Yes, and it was Brooke Lachlan's goal in the last minute. Also, to win the goal-kicking award, so now she's joined the class with Darcy Vesio as the winner of the goal-kickers. Evan Carney, you know, grabs the ball, but that's what she does. Katie Brennan's back wasn't terrible, but wasn't brilliant. But they did what they need to do. They're in the grand final. All they need to do is win. Melbourne, again, misses out. So it happened to the women's last year, happened to the men's last year, now happened to the women's again. They are final cursed.
Just not a good time to be, well, it is a good time to be a Melbourne fan, but just a little bit unlucky, I guess, for those supporters. All right, and the final match, which was yesterday, was between Collingwood and Adelaide. Adelaide got off to a pretty good start, but after half-time, Collingwood started to hit their straps, and they outscored. They kept the Adelaide goalless, so Adelaide were only able to score two behinds in the third quarter and were left scoreless in the final term. Collingwood running away victors, 8-5-53 to 4-8-32.
Yes, there was probably a few times in that game where you thought, oh, you weren't going to make the grand final. You thought Adelaide had it.
Yeah, for sure.
Doggy Town is probably worried about playing Adelaide in the final. They don't have a good history there. I think Erin Phillips, she did okay for someone who was playing on one leg. Chelsea Randall was solid, but for the Collingwood Magpies, Jasmine Garner with the 3 goals, 16 touches, 7 tackles, she was pretty much the difference between the two teams. Absolute match winner there. Mo Hope played good. Gave a bit of a weird interview, though, at half-time. They asked her about, would you see stuff in Collingwood colours next year?
Collingwood colours. Collingwood colours next year. Spat it out there. Yes. Good job.
And she pretty much didn't say yes, but she didn't say no. It was one of those weird interviews. But yes, that's
interesting. Well, how about the finish of the season for Christina Bernardi for Collingwood?
It's fantastic.
She kicked 2 goals in their best. Yeah, so she was threatened. Well, not really threatened, but yeah, she was basically told by Collingwood, if you don't lift your game, you're not going to be on our list for the next season. She went back, VFLW, kicked a bag of goals.
Came back.
And this season.
And Chloe Malloy's a shoo-in to win the Rising Star, you would think.
Oh, without a doubt. She's had a phenomenal season.
Even though the Doggies have like 50 nominations. We'll get to the latter now with, as you know, the Doggies finished first, win their first. You know, fun fact, this is the Western Bulldogs' first ever minor premiership. Men and all women's. Actually, last year was the Brisbane Lions' first ever minor premiership as well. Even though you won the three-peat.
Never finished first in those leagues.
This is the Western Bulldogs' first ever minor premiership.
You heard it here first?
Yes.
Jesus.
So, granted, they haven't been the most successful team in AFL history, but...
Yeah.
Winning 5 games, have 2 losses, and a great percentage of 142.5. Second, the Brisbane Lions, sitting 4 wins, 3 losses, and a percentage of 126. Just above Melbourne, same 4-3, but 115.8. So, unfortunately, they're from Melbourne. I think that loss to Collingwood in Darwin was probably what hurt them the most.
Yeah.
They got flogged.
Yeah.
Go down to fourth, the Giants. Great season, even though they didn't win the premiership. 3-3 and 1 draw with a percentage of 92.6. 0.2% higher than Adelaide with 92.4. Collingwood's above Frio with 3 wins, 4. Then Frio, 3 wins, 4 as well. And Carlton, unsurprising in this century, has finished last again.
Yep, unfortunate there for Carlton. Now, next season, do we think that the AFLW will switch to a top four final system?
With 10 teams, I think you have to.
Yep.
Because I even think 8 teams you kind of have to. I think it's unfair that the top two teams... I honestly believe if there was a finals last year, the Lions would not have made the grand final. You struggled against Carlton that last game, I actually thought you should have lost the game against Carlton. They probably would have gave you the flag. Like, you weren't even about losing. But, so what's your tip for the grand final? Let's do this.
I've got to stick with my girls. I'm going to go with Brisbane.
It's kind of a bias, yeah. That's a bit of a biased question.
Well, you kind of have to. I mean, look, it was an incredible performance against Jerry West, who were fighting for a grand final spot also. So, like, mind you, if they had a won, and obviously the result going both the team's way with the Doggies beating Melbourne, they very well could have made the grand final. So, to do that, and they were in form as well to beat them by 40 points at their home ground, I think that momentum will carry through into the grand final. No bias whatsoever with my prediction at all.
I'm actually going to tip the Lions due to the fact is, unless you're the Sydney Swans, most teams usually end up winning a flag after they lose. Fun fact, Sydney has Sydney has lost 8 of the last 10 grand finals, dating all the way back to 1934. So they have a terrible record in grand finals, the Sydney Swans. And the two flags coming in 2005 and 2012.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's usually a thing. A team loses the grand final, wins one the year after. The last question about the AFLW I asked, who do you think will win the Best and Fairest Aaron Phillips Award?
I like Dana Hooker.
You like Dana Hooker?
Her season was phenomenal in the middle.
I think her, because I did my own personal tipping, I did 3 votes after every game.
Yeah.
I had Dana Hooker first, but her and Emma Carney were both just consistent all year. But I think I had Dana Hooker pimping her out by a vote. So I also have Hooker or Emma Carney, but it'll be interesting. And we have Chloe Malloy as the certainty for the NAB Rising Star.
Yeah, we're all in agreement there on that. All right, that wraps up AFLW for this week. So we both predict Brisbane to win the premiership come this round, grand final.
Enjoy that, Caleb.
And we're going to stick with some AFL talk.
Yes,
and
we'll go to AFL in a sec. So who won? Let's play, have a question. Who won the AFL premiership in 1957?
1957, was that Melbourne?
Yes.
Mind you, he hasn't told me this. Discuss this. So
this is they won 3 in a row. I think they defeated Essendon. They went Collingwood, Essendon, and then they lost to Collingwood the next year.
It just sounds familiar for Melbourne winning it for me.
Well, any time after like the 60s, you just don't say Melbourne.
Yep.
Any time after the 60s, you just say Hawthorn, and most of the time, you'd probably be correct.
Yeah. Any other questions? I'll answer them. That was good. That was a good surprise.
Where'd you get that jumper from? It looks really nice.
From my cricket club.
Oh, nice. Yeah. How'd you go in cricket, by the way?
Yep. All right. So AFL.
I knew that. You lost by a lot.
We didn't lose by a lot, no. It was a very close match. Okay, so on Friday, actually, the AFL announced that they've remastered every single club song bar Melbourne, Gold Coast. No, sorry. I'm thinking Fremantle, and I said Melbourne. I don't know why. And I'm looking at your Fremantle hoodie, and I don't know why I said Melbourne.
So
Freo, Gold Coast, and JWS were the only songs that weren't changed.
I'm going to say, why would you change the best song in the AFL? # fight me, people. Why would you change the best song in the AFL?
Well, apparently, according to the AFL, many clubs put in a request to change the to re-record the songs because the audio quality was pretty poor, and obviously with all these new stadiums, they wanted to make the recordings digitalized and obviously make it sound a hell of a lot better. So these songs, unfortunately, they got changed. A couple of the lyrics got changed. So Collingwood's, some of their lyrics
good
got changed.
Good old Collingwood Forever, We Know How to Play. Some of them, like, obviously, you should probably
And also, Hear the Barrackers are Shouting, not See the Barrackers are Shouting.
Which makes sense, but it's just Risking Head and Shin.
Yep. Richmond's was changed from Riching Head and Skin to Risking Head
and
Shin.
We're going to finish last in the Brisbane theme song.
That was never in there, mate.
Yeah, that's a new one. New added there that we're going to finish last.
Why haven't they added lyrics yet in Freo that we're never, ever going to win a premiership?
Oh, it's kind of a known thing. That you don't need to tell people we're not going to win the flag. Like, we don't have the flag in the song. Do you know that there's no Melbourne or Demons in their song at all? Like,
nah. It's a good song.
I always find
like
that weird. They don't mention the team's name at all.
Also, for Geelong's theme song, they've finally added that second verse. That second verse has been around the whole time. It's just that they never actually had it in the theme song.
See, I didn't know that until Friday. Ben knew that all along.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to theme songs. I know every single lyric when I was a kid. Yeah.
Do you know Dockers' like second verse of their song that they don't use?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do.
Do you know their third verse that they used to use in their old theme song?
Don't know that. So there we go. I need something. I need to do some more studying on that.
Listen to their 5-minute original song they came out with. That very slow. Oh, it's terrible. That was the best song. The new one's the best.
Yeah, so Eddie Maguire came out on SEN on Friday night and stated that Collingwood will be sticking with their old version rather than the new version. Obviously, Collingwood's theme song is the oldest in the AFL. I believe it was 1907 it was created. So
yes,
Collingwood
goodbye, Dolly Gray.
Yeah, Collingwood by far and away, the oldest theme song. So Eddie Maguire making a stance that they're going to keep it. And do we think that a lot of other clubs will go in that way? The way Collingwood has, they'll stick to their old tune, not move to the new one.
I don't mind the second lyric in Geelong. Geelong fans are delusional when they say, "Oh, the Fight Like Hell will be the new yellow and black." No, it won't. No, it definitely will not. But it's a tough one. I think some clubs, like Essendon, I didn't really notice the change. Hawthorn was a lot of the songs were more quieter. I wasn't a fan of the Eagles. I think the Eagles looked terrible anyways, but I wasn't a fan of
them. They just removed the start. Like, they had, like, the all, hey, Eagles for, like,
at least
10
kind of,
seconds.
That kind of pumped you up a bit more than, where are the Eagles? The West Coast Eagles.
Yeah, I don't know. I see the intentions of the AFL, but I do think the majority of the clubs will keep their original tunes. And listening to the Brisbane theme song, I can definitely hear the difference. And even because I listen to all the songs, and you can hear the difference. It's just a lot, like you said at the start of the show, they're a lot softer, a lot more mellow, whereas these ones, which were mostly sung by the Fable Singers, a lot more up-tempo, aggressive, I guess you could say, and yeah, it's more joyous listening to those ones than these new ones at the moment. I don't think I'm ready to change yet.
Well, I've got the new ones on my phone. I've been listening to them.
Surely there's a way, though, that you can digitalise the old songs. There's got to be a way. Surely.
But the Brisbane one sounds more like the French National Anthem. I just don't know why. The Star sounds more French, even though it's the French National Anthem.
It sounds softer.
It is.
I don't know. I'm not a huge fan.
That kind of goes with the current Brisbane theme. Bit of a softer outfit.
Look, you're not wrong. We haven't been good in contested footy, so...
Well, granted, when you're going from a team with, what, Simon Black, Jonathan Brown, Lynch, Voss, to Josh Walker...
At least we've had a team like that. How's Freo gone?
We've got the Pav.
Yeah, and a loss in the, what was it, 15 grand final?
No, we didn't make the 15 grand final.
16 then?
No, we finished third.
14 then?
Nope.
13.
We went on straight sets. 13. Yes, 13
there
one. There
we go.
There
we go. Right. All right, so round one starts this week.
Yes, it does. We can't wait.
Richmond Carlton kicking it off on Thursday
95,
night.
95,000 expected.
95,000.
Because Richmond fans love winning, yeah. Richmond fans love winning.
Most of them will be Richmond for sure. Do we, any other predictions? So you reckon, who are you boys playing actually?
Port Adelaide and Adelaide.
Yeah, Port Adelaide.
Because I don't know why the first game in the new Perth Stadium is not Freo West Coast, but because I know the first game Adelaide Oval was a showdown.
Yeah, the first game, it'll be between West Coast and Sydney, unfortunately. Yeah,
I think that is so stupid.
No, it's not.
Open it with a derby.
Round 2 derby would be nice.
We're playing Essendon round 2.
Or is it round 3?
Yeah, no, playing Gold Coast away.
When's the derby?
Round 5.
I swear it was round 2.
Gold Coast are playing two games in a row there, then we play West Coast.
What's going on? You might be right. Should have started off with the derby. My boys, we take on St Kilda. I'm very bullish about our chances because we've got a very good record at Etihad.
I don't think St Kilda's that good.
Yeah, St Kilda haven't been too good over the past few seasons.
I'm taking Big Boy Rainer to be good.
Anyway, we'll leave our predictions there because you and Caleb are going to have a huge show on Wednesday. You'll be talking AFLW and AFL, so it'll be just a whole AFL show on Wednesday. So do tune in. They'll be predicting everything from premierships to wooden spoons to Brownlows, Rising Stars,
quick question.
Headline story, absolutely everything you can think of AFL, these two will be predicting
it. I'll ask you two questions that we're going to talk about on the show. Rory Sloane, leaving or staying?
Leaving.
Tom Lynch, leaving or staying?
Leaving.
Both leaving?
Both leaving.
Wow. I did say on the weekend, I think a captain leaving a team is not a good look. I don't think a captain should leave a team. Unless
Gold Coast perform. This is obviously, it's so hard to tell at this start of the season, but if Gold Coast don't perform, say they don't finish in like the top 12, I guess you could say, top 14.
But even has it like...
He leaves because Gold Coast have looked good in the preseason. Obviously, you can't take too much from the preseason. But with a new coach, Stewie Jew could change the whole environment around the club, the whole vibe, and never know. Tom Lynch may stay eventually.
But even
and
like
Gold Coast may perform.
How Brisbane finished the season last year was good. I know Brisbane won the one spring in the end, but their last month was superb.
Yeah.
So they
it
showed
was.
Good signs.
And
yeah.
We wanted to keep the season going,
you
but
did, yeah.
Then we got rolled by North Melbourne, which I was surprised about as well.
Yeah,
I thought we were going to win.
In the Camry and the Cup.
Yeah. All right. So, Liam, you've got a pack.
Yeah, something that probably I think none of us have bought in years are the pack of footy cards.
Yeah, you got a select pack of AFL footy cards. He's going to do a live opening. While he does that, I'll quickly go over. John Ralphie wrote an article about Josh Kelly from GWS, and the start of the article read along the lines of cocaine and drugs and all that, and for every cocaine nightclub thrilling superstar, there's a charity promoting football players, along the lines of that. And that took a lot of backlash from AFL supporters, and not AFL supporters, AFL players. And mind you, Jack Riewoldt was particularly unimpressed by the article. Yeah, and so the AFL Players Association have actually told players this season to voice their concerns about media articles, if it's being false or they're deliberately making the league or players portray them as being worse than it actually is. And yeah, John Ralph has actually admitted that he probably didn't start the piece the way he should have. And the piece was actually really good about Kelly. So
shows that humble player who will definitely leave next year, then next season. Like, I think it's a given.
He's got 2 years, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, this season, next season.
Yeah.
I think it's a given. I think even GWS knows that he's gone after next season.
Yeah, so
kind of what you said, they're going to get their money's worth.
So the media are going to be put on a lot more scrutiny this season. Mm. But yeah, so Liam, you opened the pack.
Yes.
Who have you got?
We start off with Sam Gray, Adelaide Best and Fairest, Matt Crouch, future captain.
Are these common cards or are these any special cards?
No, there is a special card in, or two special cards in here. Michael Riccitelli, former Brisbane Best and Fairest winner. Brad Shepherd. Can't remember who he is, actually. I don't know who Brad Shepherd is. I think he played okay in the grand final. Big John O'Padden. Look at that. You know, weird cartoon look.
That's a special card.
Yeah, it's a special card.
Look, give us a look at that.
There you go. Nice and gold.
John Patton. I think it's called a caricature or something.
We've got another David
McRae. Oh, no, it's a burst. It's
David McRae as well. Special LA card.
Is that a sticker?
I think it might be a sticker.
David McRae. Looks like a sticker card.
Mm. Then they got a nice Dom Tyson. His Dom is good.
His Dom is good.
Got the Bont.
The Bont.
David Asprey and Fremantle's Best and Fairest, Bradley Hill, who looks petrified in this photo.
Yeah, he's kicking the footy and...
Maybe he realised he's left the premiership team to go play for Fremantle.
He's got a very weird facial expression there. Not sure about that.
Good to open a pack of footy cards. Haven't done that since I was a wee lad.
Yeah, I've still got all my old footy cards. So
I've got mine somewhere locked in. And same with them. I used to collect the micro figures that Coles used to do.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I have a look for them as well, yeah.
Might get you to bring it in one day.
You have to go up to Townsville to grab them.
Never know about that. Liam, we're now going to get stuck into some basketball. Before we get into anything about the NBL or the NBA... Huge announcement yesterday. I'll repeat, this is massive now.
Groundbreaking.
Absolutely. This is enormous. So I'm just trying to think. I should get the thesaurus
or,
out.
Or would you say a consolation prize of Ben Simmons not making the All-Stars?
No. This one. Oh, yes. Okay. It is.
Right, hatred for Australia.
The United States of America basketball team will be coming here to Australia. And even better, they'll be coming here to Melbourne next year. August the 22nd and 24th, they'll be playing two exhibition games against the Australian Boomers here at Etihad Stadium, and this will be prior to the 2019 World Cup. So, expect all the big-name Americans to come down because...
And pull out last second.
No, they will come because the 2019 World Cup, usually American, the USA team don't field their best stars for the World Cup, but...
They end up winning anyways.
Yeah, exactly. They always
They're
win.
They're more Serbia.
The Basketball World Cup is actually being held in China. And because of the huge basketball following and the NBA supportership in China there is at the moment, it is more likely, and it will happen, that the Americans will send their stars over. So, good news for us is they will come on August 22nd and 24th. So the tickets...
I'm definitely going.
I'm going as well. I'm saving up every single penny now to go. And Etihad, they'll have an elevated court as well. If you haven't had a look, go look on the Basketball Australia website. The way Etihad Stadium looks at the moment, it looks for that basketball court, looks picturesque. And it's going to be absolutely packed. 50 plus thousand fans each match for sure.
Australian, they always get a marquee soccer game every year. They're having the big wrestling event in October at the MCG. That's going to be absolutely massive as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Now this basketball thing. And I went to a few years ago. I think Melbourne Victory played Liverpool. And I got... And me and my mate were in line for a couple of hours. Yeah.
Jesus.
Me and my mates were in line for like 20 minutes.
Were you able to sing the You'll Never Walk Alone?
I didn't go for Liverpool.
But we're in the stadium when it happened.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was good.
And I was was good.
And what annoyed me was people there booing Melbourne Victory. I'm like, most of you are probably Melbourne Victory supporters. Get over yourself. But yeah, tickets sold out fast, so the tickets for this will sell out very fast as well. So I'll probably look for day one or day two tickets. I'll have both up there, see which one I can grab.
I might go both.
Go both?
I don't know.
It's good to see Ben Simmons and whoever else plays for Australia.
Yeah, May De La Dova, Patty Mills, will Bogut play? Not sure. Aaron Baines, Dante Exum if he's not injured. Thon Maker. Thon Maker hasn't played for the Boomers yet. So, it'll be very interesting. So, yeah, August 22 and 24.
That's going to hold
next season.
60-something thousand, wouldn't it? Because they're going to move the seats in.
I think they're saying around 55.
55?
But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 60. Either way, is upwards of 50,000. Yes. And it's, mind you, the tickets will sell out. So, if you do want to get tickets, go onto the Basketball Australia website. There is a link where you can register for tickets, and they will let you know when the tickets become available. Right now, I believe there's like VIP and all these hospitality packages, and I had a cheeky glance at it, and it's $4,000 for a front court ticket.
I'm not really, don't really want to sit front court side. So that's okay. Court side, I don't want to sit court side. I'm good with that. I can sit
$4,000.
I can sit up in the nosebleed section. I'm good.
I don't mind paying a little bit extra if I can sit towards the front. Like, not, I don't want a court side seat. I do not want to be sitting in the rafters at Etihad. No. I will not say a thing. I mean, you will, but like, I prefer to sit, second tier?
Yeah.
First tier? And you'll know what we're saying if you have a look at the Basketball Australia, the way Etihad has been mapped out. The stands have been brought in, so like they have in soccer, but they've been brought in even more for that. So if you could get like a second tier, third tier ticket, it's actually pretty good. You probably don't want to be up in the stands, but nevertheless, that's the only ticket you can get.
It looks massive.
It looks good.
No, they're in, and there's another section.
They're further in than in soccer. Yeah, they've added extra, so.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely massive. That's even an understatement.
So lock in those dates.
Because basketball is growing in Australia.
Is that a Friday, Sunday? I'm taking it. Sure, you'd think so.
Yeah.
We're taking a complete stab.
But like I said, basketball in Australia. Oh, no, Thursday and Saturday.
Thursday, yeah. Saturday?
It says on the website, so I'm lucky.
That's a bit weird.
Yeah, but like I said, basketball in Australia is growing rapidly. Like, NBL even has more coverage the last few years than it's ever had. So it's going to be massive.
Well, we'll keep that. That's a great segue because the NBL Grand Final Series have taken off between Melbourne United and Adelaide 36ers. It has taken off, and two matches so far have taken place, one at Hisense Arena where Melbourne United got up, and the second one, which was yesterday, and the 36ers bounced back to make the series a 1-1. So game three takes place on Friday here at Hisense Arena, and game four, which we now know will be taking place at Adelaide on Sunday. So Adelaide got over the line yesterday, 110-95. It was a bit of controversial refereeing. I believe the foul count was around 16-8 at halftime.
Home crowd biased.
Oh, for sure. And you're always going to cop that. But yeah, Chris Golding.
Worth me playing Perth.
Chris Golding tried to, I guess he didn't really want to blame the refs, but he basically did. He was just saying that when you come here to Adelaide, you expect it to go both ways. One side, he was asked by the reporter, oh, it's been a really physical match, hasn't it? And Golding's like, yeah, on one side it's allowed, on the other side it's not. And he's implying that on his side, the refs were pretty much calling any physical contact like that. So, yeah, unfortunately for United, they did go down. So it is 1-1 heading into game three here in Melbourne on Hisense Arena.
Good. It's always good to see. I know last season was bad. I know Perth did a 3-0 sweep of Adelaide. So it's good to go 1-1. They've brought back the 5-game series. It's the second season now they've got it back in. I see Melbourne probably still getting over the line. I think they've got the better team, hence why they finished first. They'll probably beat them in Melbourne, and all they've got to do is beat them in Adelaide. Or same, vice versa, really. You've got to get that away win.
Well, even so, they'll probably win all their home games. So
yeah,
if this series goes to 5, you'd think Melbourne United could still very well win it. But this game 3 will decide the championship, without a doubt. If Melbourne win it, you lock them in. You don't lock them in, but they go in as favourites to win the championship. If Adelaide win, you expect them to win.
Last game.
So this game becomes extremely important. This game decides the championship. So whoever wins this will win it. So that's our predictions there. We'll move over now to the NBA, and it's very tight in the Eastern Conference standings. Now, from the top eight seeds are pretty much locked and loaded. There's a 7-game win difference between Miami and Detroit, who are in 8th and 9th, respectively. But looking to the top, so Toronto sit 5 games clear atop the Eastern Conference standings. They lead Boston and Cleveland, who move back up into the third slot. Washington, they defeated Indiana, and they leapfrog Indiana into 4th place. So all of Cleveland, Washington, and Indiana are all on 40 wins.
It is getting close up there. And the Raptors have, well, apart from the fact that they've lost the last two, they have, well, they are running away. They lost yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they lost today. They just lost.
They just lose.
Yeah, they just lost, 132 to 125.
Oh, yeah. They just lost.
You're hearing it, but this is groundbreaking
stuff. Yeah, no, because I've got the ladder and the standings, and obviously hasn't updated.
Yes. But they still win behind Golden State. If Golden State lose tomorrow, but it's good that there was a huge gap between the East and the West, and now Raptors have caught up. Apart from the Rockets, who are absolutely flying, 55 wins. They look like they're going to finish first in the West, and Toronto are going to finish first in the East.
Yep. Don't forget my boys. Just get back to my boys. Philly, we're in 6th spot. We're in a 2-game winning streak. We take on the Hornets, and we have a chance to close it to 1 game. One win between Indiana and Washington. We are 2 games behind in terms of games played, but yeah, we're only 2 wins behind Indiana and Washington. So it could even Milwaukee could get up there. So it could very well be from Cleveland down to Miami. We don't really know who's going to finish third because you think the top two are locked from 3rd to 8th, particularly 3rd to 6th. It is really up for grabs. Eastern Conference.
And Ben Simmons, I think, he scored 9 triple-doubles. He scored 10,000 points. And we're about scoring a 3-pointer as well, so not a bad effort.
Yeah, it was a funny interview he had when they were saying, he commended Donovan Mitchell. He's like, okay, he's a scorer, but he's gone and said, but I'm a scorer, rebounder, and a pass guy. So I love the arrogance of the kid. If he doesn't win the Rising Star, I may myself go to America and protest in front of... Do they have an NBA house, potentially?
They probably would have an NBA headquarters, yeah.
NBA house, whatever they call it there, but yeah. All right, Western Conference, Houston, as we said, they are leading it at the moment. They are 2 games clear ahead of the Golden State Warriors, who are in second. Those two are locked and loaded, similar to the Eastern Conference's top two. Portland and Oklahoma are both sitting on 43 wins. Portland, mind you, are on a 12-game winning streak. So it is Dame time for Portland. Mm-hmm. They're having a very good season. They've played 3 less games also than the Oklahoma City Thunder, so you think they'll improve their... improve the difference there over and extend their advantage over Oklahoma. Yes. And Utah down to New Orleans, there is only 1 win which separates them. So Utah, Minnesota, and San Antonio have all won 40 wins and have lost 30. And then it's New Orleans who have only played 1 less game. They've only won 39 and also lost 30.
It is
so
close.
It is extremely close, and you can't really count out the Clippers and Denver also. Clippers have a record of 37 and 31, and Denver are on 38 and 32. So it's extremely tight in both conferences.
Another thing that could drop, though, is the Golden State Warriors in the season, not in the finals, with Curry and Durant might miss the rest of the, we'll say, home and away season.
Both of them are injured. So
they got over the Suns.
Klay Thompson, I believe, is also. Done a... fingers.
Yep.
It's a hand injury, I know that for sure. But yeah, he may be out for the rest of the season. And you'd think they would rest him for the rest of the regular season because...
no matter where they finish, they will make at least the
Oh, they want to finish second, though. They want to finish second because I believe if you finish third...
They might play...
Fourth. I think if you finish fourth, you'll take on the first team. I think it works like that.
Well, if they can knock out Houston in the second round, they'll be laughing, so...
Either way, they prefer to play Houston the Western Conference Finals anyway, for sure. Some other news in the NBA. Joe Ingles has broken Utah's 3-point season record at this stage of the season already. He's notched up 179 3-pointers for the season. He's eclipsed Randy Foyer's 178 for the Jazz in the 2012-13 season. So, Jinglin' Joe is performing well there in Utah, fair to say the
not
least.
Not bad. They're winning, so nothing too good combinations.
Yeah, he and Donovan Mitchell are doing extremely well there for the Utah Jazz. So, yeah, Joe Ingles, great to see him doing well. And hopefully we get to see him down under next season.
Yes.
Next year, sorry, when they take on the USA in those exhibition matches. And we're going to get stuck into our wrap-up, leading off with the cricket.
Yes. A century from Elise Healy leads Australia to a 97-run victory over India and to win the Series 3. Zip, what a win. At least there's some good news in Australian cricket, unlike what's happening in South Africa at the moment.
Hey, it's only one all.
I'm not talking about the match.
Ah.
I'm talking about the off-field stuff.
Okay. All right, what's next? NRL.
Yes.
Melbourne Storm. Billy Slater played his 300th game. He was conveniently left out of the round one clash, obviously, so he could play his 300th game here in front of his home crowd in Melbourne. Fortunately, Melbourne Storm went down to the West Tigers 10-8.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
You said fortunately.
Did I?
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately.
Well, I don't know what NRL team you go for. You might go for the West Tigers. You might hate the Storm.
I'd go for the Storm.
You go for the Storm, well then, yeah, unfortunately.
Didn't mean to say fortunately. Yeah.
For the Storm, there was a big match next week. The grand final rematch against the Cowboys.
Yes.
At Amy Park. And it also, we don't really talk about much rugby league, but I did want to bring this up. Manly absolutely smashed the Parramatta Eels 53-0.
54.
54-0. What an absolute...
Come on,
flocking.
Liam. You got to get that right.
I got 53.
It's 54.
I've got
it up right
I'm
here.
I'm going to double check because I got 53 when I looked it up.
It's 54. It's 54. All right. Moving to the other results. In the
told you it was 54. God. Seriously, Ben.
What's wrong with you?
You should do your research, mate. It's 54. You call yourself a producer.
I'm not going to respond to that. I'm going to choose to politely decline to that.
Fair call.
Yeah, you're wrong there. Okay, the standings at the moment. So the undefeated teams range from the Dragons, Warriors, Panthers, West Tigers, and of all teams, the Newcastle Knights.
Oh, I know.
They are the NRL's version of the Fremantle Dockers.
No. Newcastle's won premierships. I'll say the New Zealand Warriors are the Fremantle version because they are flagless. And we're not as bad as the Gold Coast Titans. So
the Knights are probably the version then of recent times of us, of Brisbane. They have been extremely poor.
No, I'll say you're the version of Parramatta Eels. You did good when you started. They won the three flags when they just started and done nothing since.
That's also like Fitzroy. Fitzroy did the same thing. We were like leaps and bounds ahead of the whole VFL competition back in the day. We had eight flags and then we dropped off for the remaining 60 years.
I think between 1944 and 1996 when you left, I think the only chance you had to make the grand final was in 1986 where you lost the prelim to Hawthorn. Or to Essendon won the two?
No, we beat Essendon. I remember that.
You remember that?
No, I don't remember that. I wasn't alive back then. But I do remember watching that match, as in like a replay of it. Yeah, it was a semi. We beat Essendon.
Yeah, it's the only chance you had.
Yeah, what can you do? All right, so that's NRL. Storm taking on the Cowboys this Thursday night at Amy Park. The A-League, Sydney FC, lost two matches.
In a row for the first time since round 25 and 26, 2016, with a 2-1 loss to Brisbane. That's how long it's been. Nearly been 2 years since Sydney FC's lost back-to-back games. As well as Melbourne City drew with Adelaide United 1-1. And Melbourne Victory smashed Central Coast Mariners 5-2 to jump to second on the A-League ladder. And the season's still going. It's still going. No end in sight.
How many rounds are left, Flame?
I think there are 4 rounds left, if I am correct.
Three rounds left.
Four rounds left. I was right, then I was wrong.
You're like with that, 53 and 54. You mix your threes and fours. Did you do that in primary school?
Yeah, it's 1, 2, 4, 3. Next year I'll be 24 years old. Can't wait.
You're going to be 23?
Yes.
Okay.
It took you a while.
Yeah, it did. Well, it was round 23.
Yes, it was.
We got 73s and 4s. It was round 23 for the A-League.
I didn't have the fixtures up. It was a guess when I said 4 rounds.
Oh, was it actually?
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, then I...
All right, so Sydney FC, they went down Saturday night to the Brisbane Roar 2-1. The prior results there, Friday, Adelaide United and Melbourne City FC locking out a 1-1 draw. Newcastle defeated Wellington Phoenix 1-0. And then yesterday, Melbourne Victory defeated the Central Coast Mariners 5-2, and there was a bit of a laughable incident. One of the goals scored broke the net, and then they couldn't find a ladder so they could put the electric tape. Barbarossas, who was Costa Barbarossas, he was the smallest player on the ground, had to get a boost from I think it was an official. Had to put the electric tape on. So quite laughable.
Also, round 23, this happened earlier this month. The 4th of March it was. Western Sydney Wanderers drew Perth Glory 1-1, but they played again. The 4th of March, they didn't play this week, which is odd. I find that weird. Because that happened the same, I think, last week's game. Yeah, round 22. So round 24, 23 was on the same weekend as round 22, because A-League's weird like that. But yeah, the season's still going. You got four more rounds to go, plus four final games. So, and it looks like it's out of Sydney FC, Newcastle Jets, or Melbourne Victory.
No, it'll just be Sydney FC, Newcastle. Melbourne Victory too far behind. So Sydney FC lead Newcastle just by 5 points, and then the gap between Newcastle and Victory is 12 points.
Oh, I'm talking about in the finals. I think Victory more experience in the finals.
Sorry, thought you were talking about the standings.
Understandings.
Sydney FC, Melbourne City sit 1 point behind Melbourne Victory in fourth, and then it is Adelaide and Western Sydney Wanderers who are both sitting on 30 points with four games remaining. Brisbane Roar sit 2 points behind those two teams, and Perth Glory are 4 points behind. So both those teams could very well hop into the finals contention.
It is exciting stuff, isn't it, Ben? You're probably so thrilled.
Oh, I'm ecstatic about the A-League. Yes. Absolutely love it. It's just more and more soccer. It's great. Sorry, it's not a knock on the A-League. It's just too long, in my opinion. I'm sorry.
Go to Super Rugby now, and Melbourne Rebels undefeated start has come to an end with a 51-27 loss to the New South Wales Waratahs.
Yeah, unfortunate stuff there from the Rebels, and we did lose to them in a trial match earlier in the year. I think they kept us scoreless. Might have been like 45 or
so. We scored better, so it's always positive. See,
an improvement, minor improvement.
Always find the
great
little,
stuff
little,
from the Rebels.
Things.
All right,
I got a personal one to finish things off. Personal thing for me: Ireland has won the Six Nations tournament in the Rugby Union. That was terrible.
Okay, go.
That was as bad as mine a few weeks ago. Ireland won the Six Nations tournament in the rugby and become the first team in England in 2016 to do the Grand Slam, so you win all your matches. So good for Ireland heading into the World Cup, I think, next year.
Very good stuff there. All right, that wraps up this Monday edition of the Sports Desk. Pleasure, Liam.
Always, always.
You'll be back on Wednesday. Absolute bumper edition of the Wednesday Sports Desk. Huge AFL preview, so do tune in to that.
I'm guessing Friday's going to be a massive AFLW preview.
Oh, for sure. As always, Michael and Neve will cover everything there in the AFLW. I unfortunately won't be in because I'll be going to the Grand Prix.
Oh, lucky.
Which we also forgot to mention. The Grand Prix is this weekend on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So if you can get down, I highly recommend it.
Big weekend sport.
Massive weekend sport.
Grand final replay in the NRL. Rebels are probably playing. Got all the sports. It's massive.
And the Sports Desk will be covering all of it. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Do give us a plug-in on your socials on Facebook and Twitter. And Liam and I will be back next Monday. Thank you for listening to us, and we hope you enjoyed listening to the show.